May we help to commence our worship of God this evening by singing together hymn 309 to the tune of Pilgrim 819. Hymn 309. How strange is the course that a Christian must steer. How perplexed is the path he must tread. The hope of his happiness rises from fear, and his life he receives from the dead. Hymn 309, June Pilgrim 809. 819.
Read together from our instruction from the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 1. The Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defence and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how great they are long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offence to the day of Jesus Christ, to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many other brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one that preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defence of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labour. Yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for the furtherance of and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you a salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which he saw in me, and now here to be in me. The Lord bless the reading of his holy word and help us to pray. Merciful and gracious God, as we seek to draw near unto thee, in mercy draw near to us. Grant, O Lord, that access at thy throne of grace, that thou art here in heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive. Forgive us, Lord, of all our shortcomings. Forgive us of those sins, those secret sins, which we may try to hold in our breast, and yet we know we cannot. We cannot hide them from thee, for thou seest us exactly as we are. Lord, do pardon also those sins of which we are conscious and also would confess readily at thy footstool. And Lord, could it praise thee that access is granted, the scepter of righteousness is put forth. We have no righteousness of our own, but only that to plead which is imputed unto the coming sinner that believes and whose hope is only in that finished work of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who stooped so low and did the holy and the just, the sovereign of the skies, stoop down to wretchedness and dust, that guilty worms might rise. Indeed, Lord, thou who didst come so low art now exalted as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if through thy mercy and thy gracious spirit being given, we are subjects of thy throne, subjects of thy kingdom, and that thou, O Lord, hast therefore granted us that access at the throne of grace. We would thank thee for thy intercessions. O Lord, what a gracious savour thou art, the prayers that thou didst offer up here below, when thou wast identifying thyself with thy dear people. And it had their cause to plead that they may have acceptance through thy worthy name. And now, Lord, thou art in heaven, and that work of interceding still continues. And thou, Lord, canst present us faultless unto the Father, that he may see no spot, as thou dost with the bride of thy calling and choice. Lord, what a mercy it is if thou canst look upon us and see us as spotless. But we, Lord, have to mourn there are many spots. We are indeed riddled with sin in our old self, and that we will carry to the grave. Lord, may thy gracious work, the new man of grace formed in the hearts of every one whom thou dost call, that may indeed reveal the reality and reveal the earnestness that may be found within, and that we may seek thee and not be found as hypocrites in Zion, as those that may come with all the formality and yet not have any real desire or longing to be delivered from ourselves and to be found as one that would worship and serve thee fully. Lord, we read of Caleb how he served the Lord fully. But oh, how backward we are. Lord, we would desire that we might serve thee aright, not according to the flesh and man's notion, but as the Spirit may move us to do that thing which is honourable in thy name. We would pray thy mercy and blessing upon thy people here. Thou knowest, Lord, their needs. We would particularly commend unto thee our friend in the desk as he awaits an operation at the end of this week. We do, Lord, desire that he may be given quietness of mind and spirit, and also that what is done might be for the benefit of his bodily strength and health, and also, Lord, that recovery may be granted, speedy recovery if it could please thee. But above all, we pray that thou wilt sanctify these things, and that which has gone before and now is sought to be somewhat rectified, we do pray that these things may bring forth that confession and desire to be right with thee. And oh, do make us right. But also with thanksgiving, he may rejoice, his family also, the congregation here, and all associated friends, we ourselves to rejoice in thy mercy and goodness. We would thank thee that thy servant who is engaged here for this day has come through his operation and is making progress, as we understand it, good progress. May it continue to be so, and that he may be raised up again to minister upon the walls of Zion. We do, Lord, desire that thou wilt be with all thy servants in their labours, and some pass through varying things which at the time laid them low, and yet now they are able to continue as they did formerly. We look upon this, Lord, as a wonderful mercy to not only themselves, their family, but also to Zion. For indeed labourers are few. We need thee to send more forth. And congregations diminish. We need, as it were, new babes to be born afresh, born again, and to be able to testify of thy gracious dealings. Lord, there may be much trembling, but to this they may take comfort. To this man will I look. To him that is of a broken and contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word. We would, Lord, desire that thou wilt grant thy mercy to those who are not with us visibly. May be they able to listen in somewhat, but with their parental responsibilities, certain may be missed. And yet, other in other ways, it may mean that they in the quiet, once all their children are put to bed, that they may have a good hearing. We do, Lord, pray that there would be, with our dear aged friend in her condition, and that she, in all that she's passed through, may be upheld, and also that they will bless, Lord, not only her bodily state, but also at times the state of her mind, that, Lord, thou canst enable her to fix, as it were, upon those better things, and that her thoughts might revolve around the mercies and the blessings that are known through Christ Jesus. We would pray for any others, Lord, that we have omitted. We would remember thy dear servant who ministers, who goes forth from this place to minister in the varying causes of truth up and down the land, wherever he may be this day or this evening. If ministering, we pray that he may be given that door of utterance, and that there might be signs following the ministering of the word. We do, Lord, also pray that thou wilt grant thy mercies to those in bereavement, sustain and support them, Lord, when one of thine is taken home. Indeed, it is a wonderful blessing for them, but we that are left behind, Lord, as we tend upward too, so we need the like grace and faith, and to run the race as they did, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Lord, we do therefore pray that those that have seen their dear departed one in the times when the spirit of grace has been made evident, and that they may have a desire to be like her in that sense, or him in that sense, to have their religion. Not that they want the those personal things that apply to them, but that they may have the same have the same reality, have the same substance as that which their dear departed one may have had. Indeed, we trust has had. Lord, we would pray that there would be with those that are being raised up, even amongst our causes, they are but children at present, but oh, how we do desire to see them brought to an exercise of soul and mind. None are too young to know that need, if thou dost give them a sense of it. O Lord, work in their hearts at an early age, may be that unctuous light which shows them what is right and a bar to that which is wrong, and so they be kept from many things that they may otherwise have indulged in. O Lord, what a blessing if they can assert in perhaps a few years' time, and some may be already, that they were kept by the power of God, and then to be able to say it may be even a little later, through faith. They may not feel that they have much or any faith, and yet something keeps them, something preserves them, and that, Lord, surely is thy work of faith in their hearts. For it is impossible to please thee without that faith. Therefore, Lord, do look upon the little children, and as thou didst say, when here upon earth, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such are the kingdom of heaven. Now receive us graciously a prayer for our sinful land. Lord, we need thee to arise and scatter the enemies, to raise up men that may be given wisdom to do the thing that is right. We pray for our monarch, our nourished Lord, what he is passing through. May it be sanctified to his soul's good. The treatment that he's having, may it be effectual for the continuance, if it could please thee, of his years. Lord, we pray that thou wilt not leave him as he went into this knowledge of this condition, but come out of it as one that seeks unto the true and living God. We know nothing is too hard for thee. We often become perplexed and despondent because it seems that little seems to move, and indeed we know that judgments nor mercies ne'er can move those roving feet until they're distraught with a eternal love. And it is that everlasting love that alone can do it. Now pardon us for every sin, all that we've uttered amiss forgive. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.
Notices for the opening week. Lord God willing, Mr. Brian Mercer is engaged to preach here on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Timothy Parrish next Lord's Day, both morning and evening. And today we take our monthly collection. May we now be helped to continue our worship, singing together hymn 962, hymn 962 to the tune Reuben 725. Come, dearest Lord, and melt my heart, thy animating power impart, blessed source of life divine. Jesus, thy love alone can give the will to rise, the power to live, for every grace is thine. Without thy life-inspiring ray, my soul is filled with sad dismay. Each cheerful grace declines, yet I must live on thee, dear Lord, and still in thy For still in thy unchanging word, a beam of comfort shines. Hymn 962 to the tune of Reuben 725.
Christ is thine.
as the Lord may be pleased to help me, I will direct your attention to the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 1 and verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The Epistle of Paul to the Philippians and chapter 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul, writing to the Philippians, a church that was established partly through his own ministry, who was able to look upon those with a certain confidence, having known their beginnings and had walked with them in their ways, that this confidence he would stress to them, that it might be of a comfort and also a strength to them, because there are many things which may sometimes cause us to fear lest we should not, lest we, having begun, may not continue, or a question as to whether our beginning was right. Therefore, as we come to this particular word, we would consider those things which are evidence the good work of grace in the heart. The good work of grace is that which is wrought by the Spirit of God. There is nothing of the flesh, and therefore the flesh cannot discern it, but it needs the Spirit, or rather that new nature which is begun by the Spirit, to recognize that work of God within. When we consider the Spirit's work, then the thing, or the first thing we would mention, and it is often the case with the each that are taught of God, to know that the Spirit convinces first of sin. And it is in that revelation of what we are that we may sometimes fear that we cannot possibly be found amongst the chosen of God. Would he choose such a one as I, who are so fickle-hearted, ready to turn aside, to seem as though we are slow learners, not able to grasp the truth as we think we ought, those things which seem to be beyond us, and yet little realizing that much of the work of the Spirit is, as it is stressed in the prophecy, here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. But what also has to be realized is this, that when the Spirit convinces of sin, it is a time of emptying. And what do I mean by that? Well, it means that as we are taught more and more of our sinful heart, and more of what we are by nature, that we are then emptied of all good that is to be found in self. We find that there's not only sin in those actual
there's actual sins, but there is sin even in our best efforts, even with our best desires. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and as the Lord itself will condemn us and count us as such deserving the punishment of those sins. And what indeed can we do to escape that punishment? Not until the Holy Spirit reveals to us of that righteousness which is not found in ourselves, but that righteousness which is found in Christ alone. Then we find that the grace of faith, which we could hardly fear or think to have, yet it is that which may look alone unto the finished work of our Lord and Saviour. To see first that sins of all the elect were laid upon him, in that he would bear the punishment of those sins, so that we may be released from that punishment. To see that here he came that he might deliver us from under the law that condemns us. And when the law roars, as it were, then we stand trembling, fearing that we can only be condemned by that law. When the law was given, the children of Israel, they could not bear to hear the trumpet, nor to hear the thunders that Sinai brought forth. They could not bear to see its fire, which was burning there at the very top of the mount. And then they, not consumed, they feared they may be consumed. And God is a consuming fire, as it is sometimes put like this, out of Christ. God is a consuming fire. But when we see that all the wrath that was due to fall upon us, and the reproach, it fell upon him, and he could sustain it because he was God. Because in that humanity was no sin to be found. He was the holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and yet we see him bearing the curse for us. Then this knowledge of righteousness, have we procured it by some efforts of our own? Was it through some good works? Was it by a payment that the flesh made? No. Receive freely, unconditionally. Blessed be his name. He saw us ruined in the fall, yet loved us notwithstanding all. And now this is the work that the Lord begins in the hearts of his people. They may tremble, but it is to this man, as we quoted in our prayer, to this man will I look, to him that is of a broken and a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word. A broken heart is not to be despised. Yet Satan will do all he can to make you think that because you fear such things as being deceived, all as being one who has no right to press the mark of the high calling of God. Dare you come in to touch the scepter? Queen Esther feared it when approaching a pagan king, and yet she had to venture because of the case that she had with regard to her people that would perish through the wickedness of Haman. But in coming, she found, to her amazement, reception. And you know, though she was a queen, yet she still needed that access and that reception. And as she saw the scepter put forth, she knew she could enter into the presence of Ahasuerus. So here we have a figure, except the one upon the throne is no pagan, but rather one who is love, and one whose majesty, though great, yet it is as condescending that he should leave his throne, stoop down, and come to where a poor sinner is. And let us ever, therefore, venture in faith. You say, but oh, I don't know that I have faith. Do you venture? You may say, I dare to venture. Then such a venturing will be evidenced by that little faith. And little faith is not to be despised. We may find that it is the forerunner of awe. It is like when the ground is there very dry and barren, and its great cracks are seen, and there is a few little drops that fall. And you may say, well, what is that? It is a precursor of rain that will come. And as Elijah, after the days of drought, went up to pray and sent his servant to look, and what was the first answer? Nothing. Go again 7 times. And on that 7th occasion, there was the cloud as a man's hand. And God was in it. God was in it. It had the marks of the promise that he would not leave the earth to be devoured, whether it was by rain or whether it was by heat. But that summer and winter, cold and heat, and so on, that these would not cease. So it is spiritually. We may perhaps fear that we are completely dried up, until a little dew descends. What is the dew in spiritual experience? Well, it is the sweet doctrine. It is the doctrine of Christ. It is Christ that you need. You need that to come in that form which will soften your poor heart. That which will also supply you, so that what is rooted therein may then grow up and how quickly sometimes it can materialise. I understand that in some of those desert-like countries, when they do have the former and the latter rains that come upon them, the grass almost is seen to grow. It's seen almost that the green appears almost immediately. And though we may not perhaps realise how that is being made evident, it's manifest to the sovereign eye, the omnipotent, omniscient eye of our God, who sees, indeed he sees beyond, below the evidences. He sees the root, and that good root that has been taking place as it seeks the water of saving grace. You see, Job had to learn and realise that which is evident, that when there is a drying up, as apparently it may be, yet still there is the seeking for water. And your soul has been seeking, seeking for something that you may fear you will not find, and yet you find it. What is the encouragement? To seek on, to pray on, to cry still, and to humbly wait. How much patience is needed? And you say, I have not got any patience. No, let patience have its perfect work, that ye may be complete and entire, wanting nothing. Now that good work therefore begun, he that has begun a good work in you. So there is first of all conviction of sin, and then of righteousness. And when righteousness is set before us as being found in Christ, and it's only righteousness imputed that is of any benefit and value, then the judgment that is to come will be a judgment wherein you are absolved from all guilt, and from all that you may have feared should be charged against you, because your Lord and Saviour has wrought and obtained complete satisfaction. Satisfaction of the Father. Even before he began his ministry, what was the word spoken? When John baptized our Lord, and coming up out of the waters, the voice was heard, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. When again revealed there upon the mountain top to those three disciples, only three, yet they will be able to well testify of those things when permission was granted, that they should be able servants and messengers of the Lord, who having seen him, as Peter mentions in that epistle, it is worth just reminding you of it, as it is set forth so beautifully, and the soul wonderfully. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For we received from God the Father honour and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, for this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice came from heaven, we heard, when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Your heart may seem to be very dark, but let a little light shine. Then you will find its warming and active effect, for it stirs up within you what is already been put within. It is the answer, the Spirit, which answereth to that which is in your heart. It is as a face in water may answer to face, or in the mirror, so to see that those things which are to be revealed, they have a voice and an echo in the soul. And here we then find it was so, this dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But there in the mount, there was the realization that all the law as seen in Moses that came, or was revealed and manifest and spake, and of Elijah representing the prophets. So the law and the prophets all agreed in the one that was there in the midst, and they spoke of his death. Why his death? Because it was in the giving of himself unto that death that he could reconcile the sinners unto himself and to the Father. To find that you are reconciled through the merits of your Lord and Saviour, who has fulfilled all righteousness, and therefore has brought complete satisfaction. Now you can draw near. You may draw near at the footstool of his mercy, or you may draw near to the mercy seat itself and find that it is a blood sprinkled mercy seed. And now, in your venturing by faith to desire to see and to know these things, you prove that the good work is begun. Your hope, where is your hope? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And that is a good foundation. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Again, another word that has been, I know, a help to one in whom I've had correspondence, over a year or two. And though he has to mourn the fact that though often he seems to be enticed by those around him, and therefore the vain conversation becomes caught up in it, and it seems as though his mind then becomes taken up with those, when I say carnal things, not necessarily sinful or lustful or even or even covetous, the things that may be coveted, but with those things which detract from the one object of desire. But he said in the correspondence, there is one word that he cannot get away from. And perhaps this is the same with you. To whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And there, dear friends, if you can say that, and only hope in that, whatever you may feel to lack in yourself, yet here is the one who can supply you with all that you need. Every grace, wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Therefore, with the work begun, you're found pleading for that wisdom which you feel to lack. And then you desire that there may be those revelations, not revelations that some seek after of great things. It's not that you want to see angels ascending and descending. That was Jacob's experience. Ah, it was a wonderful experience. It was a real experience. We know that. But that was to show not only to Jacob, but his posterity as to what God would do to bring a poor sinner there, lying upon the stone. His head, his only pillow was a stone, and there to see in that dream that God sat at the top of the ladder and he was at the bottom of it. Where would he have been if the ladder had only descended halfway and he had to get himself up as far as he could to ever think of scaling it? But did he need to scale it? Oh, the blessings were brought down. Yes, angels ascending and descending upon it. And our Lord takes it up when he speaks to Nathanael. Nathanael had said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Ah, yes. When I saw thee under the fig tree, I knew thee. What, no? Yes, no, from all eternity. And to think that you were known when you were chosen, chosen in Christ. Therefore, if Christ has condescended to come down to where you are, then it will be a testimony of his love and mercy. But such was that revelation. But we may not have either the visual or the dream of it, but you might be able to testify of the reality of those things as you have by faith believed, that if there is to be any bringing of yourself to be drawn nigh unto God, it is through his mediation. The mediation of our Lord and Saviour, the man Christ Jesus. Yes, the man, identifying himself with his people, not with their sins, no, yet he would bear their sins in his own body upon the tree. But he was sinless, as we've said, and therefore only the Son that was sinless could dare to come unto his Father and say, Father, I will that this poor sinner may be accepted in the Beloved. Well, he that hath begun a good work in you, God's work is ever good. Whatever the effect may be felt within you, you may be turned inside out, as we say. You may have been hung upside down, shaken. And yet sometimes the Lord very graciously uses milder means. Sometimes it is just to convince you of this one sin, the secret sin, that which you tried to cover up, but now it's revealed. Revealed in his sight, not the sight of or all around. No, not to be made a spectacle of before men, though the Lord sometimes will make us spectacles. And often it is, if we hold a position in the church, and falter, then we may be made a spectacle. But just think of one who was the foremost of those disciples, Peter, to whom the Lord said, Thou art Peter, a stone upon this rock, myself, I will build my church. And Peter as a stone would be an eminent figure of that, a building upon the foundation that was laid. But what do we find? As our Lord afterwards did speak, when Peter, who was adamant that he would go with his Lord even unto death, why could he share in that redemption? Could he redeem himself in part? No. The Lord must do it all. But Peter had to learn his weakness. And therefore, when it came to him entering into the place where our Lord was being judged and questioned, and one approached him, he said, I know not the man. He seemed to have the confidence to enter in to the place, but when he was charged, he refuted it and said, I know not the man. And what did the Lord do? Did he say to those that were interrogating him, Look, there is one of mine, see what a wretched thing he's done, he has forsaken me. So we might forsake, but he never forsakes his own. No, it was a matter between Peter and his God, that when Peter looked, he saw his Lord looking upon him. And if we take up the words of Joseph Hart, he speaks of that look he gave which charged me with his death, but then a second look he gave which seemed to speak, I all forgive. Peter must needs go out and weep bitterly. Oh, he had denied his Lord. It must bring about that true contrition of spirit. I've sinned against my Lord. But now we find through repentance godly sorrow. And so Peter, the Lord appeared unto Peter. Yes, there, to distinguish him, as it were, as one that was forgiven. So the Lord's work is very gracious. The psalmist speaks concerning the gentleness of those dealings which he has shown unto David. And we know that David, he was left also to sin. But he says, thy gentleness has made me great. Not to be great in his own eyes, but as he believed, was in the eyes of his God, that here was one whom the Lord had set all his affection upon, and that Peter and David and many others may say that the Lord has loved me with an everlasting love. This is the good work. Yes, he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it. And he goes on. He didn't leave Peter there in denying him. No, he would look upon him. He would arrest him with that love. And that was enough. Peter didn't need any more charging. The love of Christ was, as it were, a charge to his heart. Not like the law. No, there was no condemnation. But a sacred reproof. And you know, love reproves. There's nothing like it. Love gives the broken heart, not the law. No, law and those things do but harden, all the while they work alone. But a sense of love brought pardon soon dissolves the heart of stone. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it. And now, let us in our closing remarks just consider that he will perform it unto the day, until the day of Jesus Christ. Until the day. So what is that day, first of all, of Jesus Christ? Well, when he comes to receive your spirit. When Stephen there testifying of the Lord Jesus Christ, who his fellow countrymen was denying, charging him with the same as they charged the very one of whom he was ministering. They charged Jesus Christ with blasphemy, and they charged Stephen also with the like thing. But there Stephen was able to stand his ground, knowing this, that he could minister until that day, that moment of Jesus Christ. And as they took up stones to stone him, so he cried, receive my spirit. And he saw the one who would come and gather his soul unto himself. Well, we tonight, though, a foretaste of these things, and yet not actually come to the end as we must, when the work of grace is accomplished and fulfilled, then the moment of our dying will be to be accepted and received and complete when the work of Christ is done. Oh, what a blessed thing that will be, the work of Christ, all complete. There'll be nothing to add to it then. You will not need to add anything. You will not want to add anything. You cannot add anything. No, because the work is finished. The work is finished. Well, what a mercy. When we come to our last day, fearful, as fearful perhaps as when we began, and yet it is then that all is complete. And he that has begun a good work in you will perform it unto that day, that moment. And some may be blessed with a dying testimony and can give evidence of having a faith view of him before they are taken. But that is not so with everybody. No, we will not lay down any line, else it will cast you and me into despondency. But no, the Lord will receive one who may quietly slip, as it were, from this time state into eternity, slip away. Life just gradually ebbs out, but the true life, eternal life, is, as it were, blossoms like the flower, and the fruits of righteousness are then fully declared. Well, it's till the day of Jesus Christ. And if it is when he comes to take the soul so that the mortal remains may be laid in the grave, but it awaits the time of resurrection. And that will be till the day of Jesus Christ. When we consider the completeness of salvation, it is that he must come and perform that atoning work that is vital. But then that is the work that is carried on, his intercessory work, that is just as needful. But then there is the reception, not only just at the end of our life when the soul is received into glory, but the expectation of the body, which though laid to the ground, will be raised even as he was raised. Ours will turn to dust, for he could not see corruption. Because death, or shall we say, because that which brings corruption could not be known by him, because he knew no sin. But when that work has been perfected, then what has been left, as it were, behind will be raised at his appointment. But it is an appointed day, and none know that day. And indeed, only the Father may know it in the sense that it is the command that will issue forth, that the dead shall be raised and we which remain caught up with him in the air. Well, the work then will be all complete. But for now, we tremble. For now, we are assailed on every side by temptations, by trials, by troubles, and enough to perhaps drag you down into despondency and well nigh despair. Yet, never will he permit you to enter into that despair from which we can never be rescued. Because when we consider despair, despair is that which looks the moment of gloom fully in the face with no hope at all. But now we have a hope, a little hope. Your hope against hope, so did Abraham. He hoped against hope. He had to prove the promise, not just believe it, but he did believe it. Therefore he proved it. But the proving of these things, it is not always living in the confidence and pleasantness of those things all the time. The work of faith and grace shall be tried, but the trial of your faith is much more precious than that of gold, though it be tried with fire. Ah, yes, that faith, the tried faith, will come through. The fires that may seem to burn and consume, yet we're brought through. Only that which is of the dross will be consumed. Only the garments of those Hebrew children, as they're called, being cast into the burning fiery furnace. What could not have been anticipated was that one would walk with them in the fire. When thou passest through the fires, through the waters, and through the rivers, I am with thee. And so this is the consolation of faith, that we shall endure unto the end. This is the patience that is given. And often patience is wrought when we may fear that all we have is an impatient heart, that it is learning the patience of Christ. Well, may this be an encouragement to any of you who may hope against hope, that there is that work, though often brought to doubt it, question it, but he that has begun a good work in you will perform it. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn 554. Hymn 554, tune of Passchendaele 204. though we walk through this wilderness, God's promise is our stay. His goodness he will make to pass before us in the way. To keep our eyes on Jesus fixed, and there our hope to stay. The Lord will make his goodness pass before us in the way, to make his saints his glory view, and sing their cares away. The Lord will make his goodness pass before them in the way. Hymn 554, tune Passchendaele, 204.
Thank you.
Now, dear Lord, do grant thy blessing upon all that has been done in thy worthy name, and pardon anything that has been amiss. Take us each in peace and safety to our homes, but also, Lord, may we find that there is that access given at thy throne of grace, that a poor sinner may know his acceptance in and through the merits of thine own dear Son, Jesus Christ. And now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us evermore. Amen.